Views and opinions expressed on this program are those of the guests and contributors, and not necessarily those of WFSU Public Media.
What's the 411? You're tuned in to 411 Teen, a weekly program for teens, parents, educators, and other interested folks. 411 Teen provides a forum to examine and discuss various issues and events that shape, challenge, and sometimes disrupt our daily lives. 411 Teen, Gen Z Lens, where conversations matter and insight connects. I'm Dr. Liz Holyfield, and joining me via the Zoom platform, I welcome the Gen Z Lens student producers and today's student panelists. Student producers, will you all start out by introducing yourself, and then we will go to the panelists. Arnav?
Hi, my name is Arnav. I'm a freshman. I play tennis, and I like to play the viola.
Simon?
Hi, my name is Simon. I'm also a freshman at McClay, and I play tennis and classical guitar.
Dia?
Hi, I'm Dia Patel. I play softball and weightlifting, and yeah.
Okay. Olivia?
Hi, I'm Olivia Gibson. I do dance, weightlifting, and softball. I'm a freshman, and I love biology.
And Sean?
Hi, I'm Sean. I play the trumpet, and I love coding.
Okay, well, welcome to 411 Team. I'm looking forward to talking with you. Today, we are talking about a major national story that's sparking protests across the United States and raising urgent questions about law enforcement, civil rights, and federal power. In Minneapolis, in January 2026, two U.S. citizens, Renee Nicole Good, shot and killed by an ICE agent on January 7th, and Alex Preddy, a 37-year-old ICU nurse, shot and killed by federal Border Patrol agents on January 24th, died during federal immigration enforcement operations. Their deaths have led to ongoing protests in multiple cities and calls for federal accountability and reform. Federal agents operate under national authority, but their actions happen in local neighborhoods where people live, where they work, they commute, and they raise families. My first question to you is, what responsibilities do you feel federal agencies have to local communities?
I think that federal agencies have the duty to protect and work in favor of the people. And this is called the concept of social contract, where by being a citizen, you give up some of choices, and you have to pay taxes and all, and in exchange you get protection from federal agencies.
Okay.
Adding on to what Simon said, I think it's really important that federal agencies need to keep people safe. Even if you are a U.S. citizen, their job is to still protect people, and more or less, especially if you're a U.S. citizen. And these shootings were just unacceptable, and they needed to be looked at more, investigated.
Adding on to what Olivia said and Simon, so like basically federal agencies, like I think they're supposed to implement and regulate and enforce federal laws and protect like U.S. citizens, even if they're not like, even if they are immigrants, but even if like they're, if they're on U.S. citizen land, like they're on U.S. land, then it's their duty to protect them.
Okay. Arnav, Sean, where do you all sit? What do you think?
Go ahead.
Inga.
Oh, okay, I'll just go.
Okay.
So I think that with like it's kind of similar to what the other three that went kind of said. Like, I think that the whole point of being a citizen of a country is that you get protection from the country. And so kind of to see and what is supposed to be, a peaceful protest for at least for Alex Pretty, and then also for Renee Good, right? Like, she wasn't really doing anything wrong, especially she was kind of just driving. She was trying to drive away because she was scared, right? So she wasn't putting anybody at risk. Alex Pretty wasn't putting anybody at risk. So you kind of have to think about like where's like the where's like the protection which is promised to you as for being a citizen of the country? Because both were citizens, I'm pretty sure, right?
Okay. Yes. Yes.
The government also has a almost like unspoken rule to properly assess the situation they're in, because if they don't properly assess everything, they might escalate the situation, like what happened in these two situations.
Well, if they're federal agents, should they be required to follow local policing standards? What do you think? I mean, because there is a difference there, and that issue has been raised, because it seems like federal agents operate under a different set of standards. But if they're in that environment, should they be required? What do you think? To follow
So what I
what's
think,
happening
oh,
locally?
sorry.
Oh no, go right ahead.
Okay, sorry. So technically, yes, the federal agents should have more power than like local and regional kind of like laws for policing, right? But that's because they are federal agents and they have a level of priority. But the thing about like ICE and Department of Homeland Security is that like it seems like a lot of the agents, I guess, aren't really as well trained, even like as to the training of like a lot of local police stations, because the way that a lot of them make irrational decisions and don't actually check their facts doesn't kind of put them at worth of a federal officer in a way. Of like kind of like the priority. So in general, like for like other like in it, the standard, like technically, I think should be that federal officers get more priority, and get to kind of do things a little bit more how they want to. But I don't think that like I should constitute for that because they clearly don't really follow, the rules that are put in place.
Okay.
Yeah, adding on to what Arnolf said, ICE and Homeland Security, they are not following the regulations put in place by the federal government. They are making mistakes, which has led to two victims already, and innocent victims who are US citizens, and their target is immigrants, even though I believe immigrants should be protected either way. It's still two US citizens who are now dead, not
Yeah.
anyone who's illegal in the country. And I believe that if they are going to have more power, they need to respect the power that they're given and take those guidelines with like a little more respect if they're going to keep, quote unquote, serving our country.
Adding on to what Olivia said, I think what she said was really great. And I believe that federal agents do have kind of a priority because they're supposed to deal with national issues and issues that could be very bad. But in this particular case with ICE is turning into an agency that is starting to deal with more local issues, and they're not trained with that to do this, and they don't follow the local regulations that are put in place specifically for people who are trying to resolve local issues. And I think that's part of the problem of the bigger picture here. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Adding on to what they all said, Like in the beginning, I heard you say that federal agents are like above police officers and stuff. So if they are above police officers, that means they have a greater responsibility. So shouldn't they be actually doing their job in a more respectable and prioritized level than just going on and doing whatever like they want? And yeah.
I agree with Mia, but I think that ICE's job is not to go policing the streets of American cities, and rather it's to regulate illegal migration, but not, and this is not a violent job, I believe. And for violent illegal criminals who migrated illegally, I think that's more of a job for the police and bigger law enforcement agencies, and not ICE, which is supposed to be dealing with more centralized migration problems, not policing the streets.
Well, what happens if something goes wrong? Who should be accountable? The local city? The federal agency? Or both?
I think that the people who are really in charge of whatever branch or group that kind of made the mistake and escalated should be taken responsible. And if they won't, then it should probably be in charge of the federal government. Because it almost sounds like in some of these situations where the local government had no say in what happened.
I agree with Sean says because in this instance, local governments don't have any control over accountability and how these mistakes and murders are dealt with, and how the perpetrators, these ICE agents, are dealt with. That's a job for the national government, and sadly, this administration has come up with excuses that have been disassembled by facts and videos, and clearly, and the national government continues to deny any wrongdoing from ICE. So I think it's okay that maybe ICE made a mistake, but I think that the national government should be accountable for it and
Hold your
probably
thoughts.
punished.
This is one of those times. Hold your thoughts. I'll get right back at you. You're tuned into 411 Team. We're going to take a brief break. Just tuning in. The program is 411 Team. This is the Gen Z Lens segment, and we are talking about the recent killings in Minneapolis. I had to interrupt you, so you want to continue your thoughts?
Just as I was saying, that I think there needs to be accountability so that these problems don't happen in the future, and without accountability, there is no solution, and there is no really moving on from this issue.
Yes, adding on to what you said, the federal government needs to be accountable for the mistakes that they're not owning up to. And when it comes to people's lives, I feel like you really need to take accountability. And it's not fair to the families who are being lied to or misleaded due to press or due to what the national government is saying about these killings, because these were accidents, albeit, but they were purposeful accidents. The officers who were harming the people knew that they were not armed, that they were in no danger to anyone right now. And that really is sad, is very sad, because it really just means that they're not respecting the rules that they have, like their own rules that they need to follow, and they really do need to be held accountable. I mean, the regional local government should not be held accountable, because they mostly do not get to control what is happening in their own region. I mean, it's federal government versus like small town America, right? Like they're not allowed to they're not allowed to intervene. And I was reading a case study about Alex, and he had a phone in his hand and nothing else in the other. He was of no harm to anyone. He had a concealed weapon, but it is legal in Minneapolis to have a concealed weapon if you have a permit, which he did, which they found out later after they shot and killed him. He was in no danger. He was actually stepping in to protect someone else due to ICE.
Correct, correct. And his concealed weapon was in his on his waist. He had not drawn it or anything else. And they shot him after they removed the gun.
Exactly.
In the back.
Exactly.
When there were like four or five officers holding him down.
It really just shows the lack of respect that these officers have for just anyone who they're trying to deal with. I mean, it's like if you get in their way, then they just don't care and they'll just take care of you any way possible.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah. So I have this may sound like really stupid, but it's like a genuine question. Who like dictates, well, not dictates in a way, but like who basically runs the federal government? Like there has to be someone in charge.
Of ICE.
Not like, I'm talking about this in a whole, like we can get down to ICE later, but like, I'm talking about like in a whole, who really runs the federal government? Because if anything, they should be, and if you want to get down and deep into ICE, like then whoever runs or is dictating that part of ICE should be held accountable, because why in the world are they like sending these people to kill? Like, why are they even doing this in the first place if you are a U.S. citizen? I mean, if you're an immigrant and even if you are an immigrant, that shouldn't be the case. I mean, if you are harming you like U.S. property that you guys care so deeply about, but yet are still ruining, why in the world are we doing this? So like, I just want to know who is like actually being supposed to held accountable for this, which is people who are ordering and telling these ICE agents to do this. Because you can't, I feel like you can't really just blame it onto a whole without knowing the one and one. So.
Well, who do you think? Turn that over to you all. Who do you think?
I think
is the head of the federal government.
Think that the federal government is kind of run as like a part of checks and balances. So then we have like three parts of the government that are supposed to kind of stop the other ones from doing stuff that they aren't supposed to. But right now I feel like it's in like a little bit of a limbo, especially with this current administration. The president's like writing like a lot of executive orders, and those kind of like they can be overruled like later. They're not like, you know, set into stone, but it's still like affecting people today. So, you know, you have the Congress, and then you have the executive branch, which is President Trump, and then you have the judicial branch, which is the Supreme Court. So it's kind of like they kind of get managed by all three. Like all, like President Trump can make like an executive order which tells them what to do, and at the same time the Supreme Court can overrule it, and then at the same time Congress can like make like a bill and get a bill signed about something that can affect how, you know, ICE works, or how the Department of Homeland Security works. So it's kind of all in like a combination, kind of working together, that run the federal government.
I just wanted to say that ICE and federal departments and agencies are under the executive branch, and the leader of the executive branch is the president. And he chooses his cabinet members and heads of agencies, like the head of ICE. And he chooses who goes like on the field and all. And he is really the one who's like bringing the executive branch together. And what Arnav was talking about with checks and balances, the other branches, if they deem what the executive branch is doing is like not good, unconstitutional, then they can do stuff to prevent it or change it. But right now, the president and his party control both all three branches, and so not much is being done to regulate ICE, and it's up to the president to regulate ICE and the agencies.
Okay, in that case, then, if the My question is, why is the president like going through each and every city in every single state finding these immigrants and targeting them with ICE? Like, does he not have anything better to do than run his country the correct way?
I mean, there are abortion laws, but that's not what this is about. But I could go off on a rant, but but
we'll save your rant and we'll have we'll make a program out of that too, okay?
Oh, please do. No, but I think ICE just Trump needs to focus on, yes, I completely understand, and he's used the excuse before Obama like got people out, like, but he didn't do it in where US citizens are dying. He did this peacefully. He did this without people being shot on the streets, without people being raided, without, like, you see all these videos online, if they're true or not, of people just being like taken out of schools by ICE, taken out of work, like publicly, and all of, and like they weren't doing anything wrong. There was no need for force. And they're like, if like they're not going to comply right away, I mean, who would? If you're being taken out of your office chair, like being thrown onto the street, you're like, you're going to try to fight back. And at that point, it turns into a, oh, it was self-defense for shooting people. Right. But it really wasn't. If you did it calmly, then there wouldn't be an issue to use quote unquote self-defense in the first place.
Well, let me go ahead. I was going to go ahead. You got a comment? And then I'll present this.
For Trump's excuse for Obama, then, like, I don't see why Trump isn't, what was I going to say?
I don't know.
It'll come back.
Yeah.
To add on to what Olivia for a second. Were saying, I agree with all of this. And the main difference that I see with ICE in this new administration is that they're using ICE to criminalize illegal immigrants who haven't done really anything illegal except come to America illegally. And there wasn't really a way for them to come legally because legal pathways, they take a lot of time because the agencies that manage these pathways to come legally, they're underfunded, understaffed. And so it takes a long time to come here legally. And many people just don't have the time. And additionally, what like Obama and the others were doing with ICE, what they would do is they would give the immigrants, the illegal immigrants, due process rights. And that's the main like difference. Now these days, illegal immigrants aren't being given the due process that is entitled to them in the Constitution, because the Constitution says that everyone deserves due process rights, citizens and non-citizens.
How does anonymity, mask, lack of visible identification, how does all this impact what is going on? How does it affect public trust? I mean, if you run a traffic light and you get a ticket, you know who's giving you the ticket. His face is not covered. His badge is not covered. But with ICE, they do this under, under mask, and there's no visible identification. What impact does this have?
I mean, you don't know who you're looking at. I mean,
for all you know, the ICE agent could be an immigrant.
Exactly. Right? Like, I mean, truly, to some degree, it makes sense because ICE is normally seen in videos and articles in like military style things. And I understand that. But to the point where you're setting off tear gas at protests and making little kids there cry and you're just unaffected by it in your uniforms, I mean, that has really nothing to do with it. Sorry. But it's just like, it's kind of frustrating that mothers don't get to look in the eye who hurt their child, right? Like, they don't get to know what they look like. It'll forever just be like a shadow or something like that. Like, they don't get to know. They get no identification. They get no clarification. And it, like, honestly, that would haunt me. I would rather know who did it, like, know a face or, like, know a voice or something than to not know who hurt someone, right? Like if you're standing there watching this, or even if you're the person being beat, I don't know, and you like you just don't know who's doing it. It's just like an invisible force just pounding you and pounding you and pounding you. And honestly, that would terrify me even more. Like, truly, I think they do it to, I think they do it out of fear. I like to increase the fear factor, or like just even look more intimidating. I mean, it could be armor, but initially I feel like, again, it would be more peaceful looking, maybe, I don't know. It would feel more peaceful if maybe like you saw their face, or like you know that they actually have a soul, you know?
There's nothing peaceful about looking like a Ghostbuster.
Okay, so not a Ghostbuster, but
they're
like
literally in Ghostbuster uniforms.
No, they aren't. I mean, for the tear gas, they were, but it's fine.
So I think it's a kind of to add off of what they're saying. I think it's kind of a two-way thing where it being anonymous kind of lets you it kind of changes your mind to where you can feel fine with doing things that you don't have to feel guilt for, since you know that nobody else saw you doing it. But also it does protect them from others.
I think one of the main reasons that the masks are used for ICE is it lets them feel more freedom to do whatever they want and what the ICE administrations want. And so because it removes the possibility of them being held accountable if they ever do something wrong and bad, because people don't even know who they are. Only the federal agencies who are prompting these agents to do what they do and who prompted them to wear masks can know who these perpetrators are and hold them accountable, but they're not doing that. Like we've seen in these shootings with Alex Preddy and Renee Good, the agents are not being held accountable. And I think if they didn't have a mask and if people knew who they were, they would be able to be held more accountable, you know?
I agree with Simon says, because it really kind of ruins like public trust just for ICE in general. Like nobody can, like everybody's scared. A lot of people get scared when they see ICE, and that's also a big reason why like school districts are like, you know, sending emails to sheriff's office saying, please just get them away. Like, don't let them come in like during school hours, you know, it distracts teaching. It makes kids scared, stuff like that. Right. So on like a level, it does technically protect their identity, because there are obviously people who don't like them, which is true and all, but like you can say the same thing about like police officers and stuff like that too, right? Whenever like something bad happens to a person from like a police officer related incident, not like a, you know, like a ICE thing, but like a police officer incident, you know, you see like a lot of justice being given, you know, you see maybe not a lot, but you see like you at least know who they are, like at least, you know, at least some type of justice is being given. Cause I think a lot of people don't realize that even if somebody's like somebody gets fired, but they don't get arrested or anything like that, like a lot, like for like a lot of police officers, like they usually won't be able to get like jobs and stuff. And because of the fact that if you just Google their name, you know, you can see all these results. So like there still is like accountability and justice with like a police officer related thing, because they don't cover their faces. But in like the with ICE, it's like a little bit different because they do. And so with like the fact that they do get anonymity, which like it kind of enables them to kind of do what they want. And on a level, it does protect them. I do agree that like at times it might help with their protection. It just kind of enables them to do things that they shouldn't. So it's definitely not good.
Yeah, that's what I was kind of trying to say. I got a little off on a rant there, but yeah, that was my main point. I mean, people just need to be held accountable, and it's really hard to see who did it if your face is covered and Personally, I wouldn't trust anyone who I couldn't meet truly face to face.
And honestly, I think they're just doing it. So like, if like, imagine like kind of what Arnav said, like if you can see their face and you know their name, you can like search them up. Mm-hmm. So I think they're just avoiding threats when they're literally actively giving threats. Like that just does not make sense. But I mean, you do you, I guess.
Yeah. Well, how does this, the video footage, our eyewitness testimony, how does it intensify the public response? Because you have the federal government saying, oh, they were domestic terrorists. Well, we saw that they were not domestic terrorists. We've got video footage and eyewitness testimony. What impact does that have?
You
can go ahead, Arnav.
Oh, okay. So as I was kind of saying earlier, it like kind of ruins public trust, right? Because they don't know like the government, if the government's just going to kind of like deny it or if they're going to actually take accountability for it, which is what they should be doing, but they're kind of not. Like it's really just like, it's something that specifically has to do with immigration, which I find like really odd. Like I think in a lot of things, like in a lot of cases, I've seen the government like provide like a give like more accountability and kind of just like kind of take responsibility for their actions in like a lot more scenarios when they've made mistakes. But it's like really weird how in this just specific thing, like there's been two killings, you know, video footage, body cam footage, mm-hmm. eyewitnesses, and you know, all telling like a completely different story, and they still won't apologize. So that's just like something that I find odd. You know, especially because, mm-hmm. like, I feel like if this wasn't immigration related, it would kind of have, like, a different response, which
well, I'm
is,
gonna
like,
ask you to
odd,
hold
you know?
Your thoughts. I have been talking with members of the Gen Z Lens team. You're tuned in to 411 Teen, a conversational forum for teens. Right now, we're going to take a break, but we'll return discussion shortly.
Views and opinions expressed on this program are those of the guests and contributors, and not necessarily those of WFSU Public Media.
What's the 411? You're tuned in to 411 Teen. I'm Dr. Liz Hollyfield, and I am talking with the Gen Z Lens team. We are talking about the recent shootings and killings of U.S. citizens in Minnesota. My question to you all, why has there been such a strong public reaction to these killings? What do you think is going on? And I mean, because if you think about it, the protests have spread beyond the city where the shootings occurred.
So I think it's a... There's been such a strong public opinion against it because it's almost like it's being used as a form of military with included anonymous, not showing your identity. But unlike other branches of the military, or like most branches of the military, the president doesn't have to confront Congress about it. So it's almost being used like a free... used as like a punishment-free way to kind of send a message out. And I think a lot of people are both afraid and unhappy with what's been going on.
I think it adds to a fear factor. I mean, if like they're trying to make an impact, the whole point of ICE is to get illegal immigrants out of the US. And it started off, it was supposed to be a peaceful thing, but now it's turned violent. It has led to two killings of US citizens, whatever. And it's just truly, I mean, it scares me, right? Like mm-hmm. you see all these videos online of people being shot on the streets, even though they've done nothing. And like, what kind of a world is that to live in now? I mean, you're walking on the streets, like clutching whatever you have, like trying to like, just not get shot, right? I mean, I know where we live, there hasn't been anything, but like truly it's, it's just not okay, and people, it would definitely scares people, and I think it just adds to the fear of what the Trump organization is doing to the country.
To add on to what Olivia was saying, I think that all of these factors that are creating such a strong public response to these horrific acts, like the video being released, disproving what this administration has been saying what happened, that these people were terrorists and they were impeding and posing a threat to these ICE agents and that's why they were shot, is 100% not true. And I think that the way we see that, basically, I feel like it adds to this fear factor because it shows really the potential of this administration to be able to send a message that they believe they want to send, and they don't care if it's true or not. And it just really shows to the point where how much this administration can do without being limited and regulated, you know?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Other comments?
No, ma'am.
Okay. What role do journalists play in all of this? And not only journalists, I was going to ask you about what role do journalists, what role does lawyers, civil rights groups play in what is going on?
I think that they mostly play a role to like record data and like let the community and the nation know like what's going on and stuff. But I feel like it's gotten to the point where like even if like there are like nobody's recording it, it's gone to the point where like even if you haven't recorded it, someone's gonna find out and somebody else is gonna find out, and it's just gonna become a big thing because they've made it into such a big thing. Where, and like as for the civil rights people, like wait, what do they do?
Civil, what do you mean? Protests?
Oh, protests. Okay. So as
Long
for
day,
them,
sorry.
As for it's them, right. Yeah.
Okay, civil rights people. They are in charge of trying to bring peaceful protests, and they just want answers. I mean, they're looking for like justice. They're looking for a yes or no. They're looking for the most basic form of not getting what they want, but achieving a compromise as to which both parties, the conflicting party and the actual protesters, want. So honestly, these protests have a really big impact on what's happening because it's showing that other people actually care. And even if they're not like, oh my gosh, we're so sorry, but like, because they're not, by the way, they're just making up more excuses about it. And truly, instead of facing the protesters and being like accountable, being like, that was a mistake, they're just lying to us. And I think that just angers and just perceives like lies just being told everywhere. And if protesters are going to have an impact, then they need to be bigger. We need to get more people together. We need to like stand up for what's right.
To add on to everything that has been said, I wanted to talk a little bit about the news part. I think that some agencies, news agencies and media agencies are focusing on what this administration has said, trying to paint these citizens that have been killed in the worst mm-hmm. light possible, reporting on stories of the past, of maybe a mistake they've done in the past. I've seen this on a couple news agencies to try to paint these humans in the worst light possible, to try to paint them as domestic terrorists, which they were not. They were people who were serving this country. And like Alex Preddy, he was a nurse or...
Right. Yeah, ICU nurse.
Mm-hmm. ICU nurse, and he was saving lives and all. And he was a human, a good human, and the way that some media agencies are portraying him or trying to portray him as a bad human to try to justify what the administration and what ICE is doing. I think that's not okay. And then there are some, a lot of media agencies also who are reporting on what actually happened, the video and the bare facts of this particular case, and that really shines a light on what actually happened and how this is so unjust.
I got nothing to add, Simon. You said that perfectly.
Okay. All right. Well, one of the most complex and most important questions that I could come up with is how do we balance enforcement of immigration laws with protection of civil rights? And does it make a difference if the population you're dealing with is an immigrant or immigrants, or are they citizens? Of course, they don't give them an opportunity to tell who they are. But does it make a difference who you're dealing with? And then, yeah, go for it.
Oh, sorry. Okay. So, I think like a lot of people like to say, especially that kind of want to bash on in the left, mm-hmm. like right people who want to bash on the left will be like, oh, well, Obama deported people too. He deported like even more than Trump has, you know, right? So why, how come you don't like Trump? And I think the main reason for, like, at least in my opinion, why I think that what Trump's doing is not okay is because it's the force that's being kind of put into it, like, you know, the violence, right? So like obviously, so I don't think that like illegal immigration is like good, right? Like not everybody will agree with me on that, but that's just my opinion. But I don't think that, you know, the violence that has been, you know, put through with this administration is good either. And so what I think that, like, you know, for like a balance of it, right, I think maybe kind of follow the way that Obama did it, right? Because he gave the immigrants that he caught like due process, I'm pretty sure. He was much more fair. Not as violent. His administration wasn't as violent. And so those are kind of just like ways to kind of get your goal through without necessarily using like, you know, violent forms. And something I think I've noticed is that Trump's administration wants to do this like very quickly. Like they seem very rushed in the way that they're doing it. Like I'm pretty sure like a lot of these people, I'm sure like I think a lot of ICE agents probably even have quotas, you know, mm-hmm. like find this many people. So that's why I think a lot of the time they're finding people who aren't even citizens. They just look at them and they're like, you know, I think he's not a citizen. I think he's not legal. I think he's just illegal, you know, just like kind of basing it off of what they kind of perceive. Right. So I think kind of just like taking their time, you know, maybe targeting specific people they know either committed crimes or just kind of targeting people that they know. Like, just, you know, having like a specific list instead of just going in camping out by Home Depots and, mm-hmm. you know, stuff like that. That's probably the better way to do it if they were going to do it.
To add on to what Arnav was saying, I think to get to the bottom end of this problem and find a solution, we have to go back to why people are immigrating illegally to America. And I think it's because currently, especially with this new administration has defunded agencies that provide legal pathways for immigrants that are going to benefit the American economy. And because currently the backbone of our economy is immigrants who are working in construction and factories and all and providing labor. And I think there should be, first of all, there should be more funding for agencies to provide legal pathways to come to America, and to provide more pathways to come legally to America, because many people just don't have enough time to wait years and years to get a legal access to America. And I think That's why so many people are immigrating illegally here. And if there were more faster, efficient ways to legally immigrate to America, where these people who are going to immigrate to America are going to help the labor, so this is helping the people who are immigrating to America, like leaving their the situation they're in right now, because for a lot of them, especially in like South America, like in Haiti, for example, where there's a crisis going on there, to benefit them by getting them out of this bad situation and giving them a better life in America. And they're going to benefit Americans because they are working for Americans. And I think if this happens, much more people will immigrate legally to America, and there will be less, much less people who are going to immigrate illegally because there's not much of a reason to. And the people who are dangerous criminals that are currently illegal in America, they're going to be some of the only illegal people left in America, and it's going to be much easier to regulate them. And yeah.
Yeah, Dia has something to say.
Yeah, so like adding on to like what Simon and you guys were saying and Arnav was saying, sorry. Like the way that Obama was deporting people, he was actually deporting like criminals and people who are like actually like
dangerous.
Doing, like dangerous and doing bad stuff, like dealing and stuff. And the way Trump is doing it, like what Simon said, like half of our labor workers are
immigrants,
and if you're gonna say like you're too white to do that, then maybe don't deport all your immigrants out here. Tia.
No, so, I mean, we need to be candid. That's what this is all about.
Yeah. So, and I mean, like, when ICE is being so forceful and rude and respecting guidelines and stuff, then everybody, all those immigrants who are actually doing your work are going to get so scared, and then you're not going to have anyone to do your work left. So like,
yeah, that's something to consider.
I think it's really important that it needs to be just like, it needs to be peaceful. I mean, there's no point and harming people who already know that people are going to be after them. There's no point in scaring people to the fact that maybe they didn't have time to fill out paperwork. Maybe they were like literally being hunted. We don't know each story, and we're not getting an opportunity to find out each story because they are just being violent, like because we don't have just, I lost my train of thought.
Yeah, so like what Olivia was saying, like about the paperwork and stuff, like when you're coming to America, and even if you aren't coming illegally, like let's say your file open and you're on the way here and you have all your paperwork and stuff, then maybe like before you like shoot them or something, give them a moment to pull out their ID or green card or something and visa. Show you or yeah, visa, and not be racist and be like, oh, that person's not white, let me go shoot them because they don't look like they're a citizen. So
and, yeah, so I got my train of thought again. But people, the stories aren't being told of to why the people who are here illegally, like, why are they here? They're not being given a chance, like what Obama did, due process. Trump is not giving that. Trump is basically saying, okay, no, like, you're out of here, giving no time for visas, giving no time for being like, hey, why are you actually here? Do we need to set you up a due process so you can remain here for your own safety, right? Because you're not even safe here anymore unless... kind of what they're saying. They are kind of racist. I mean, just a bit. I mean, not all of them. Not all of them. I'm sure I can't speak for that.
They're just going after black and brown folks. That's all.
Like, so,
no, I don't want to say that. But it's just like
are people of color.
Mm-hmm. People of color. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm white, guys, if you couldn't tell.
So to kind of add on to what they're saying, I feel like a lot of this is kind of hurting people who are coming in legally, especially people who are coming in for specific events like the World Cup, where teams are trying to come in legally, but they're struggling with this because so much control is being put over the immigration or just entry into the country.
Yeah. Well, you know, we are out of time. We always get there, and I had a good question to ask you, you know, about protests. And you can just think about it, and maybe we'll take it up next time. But protests, do you think they help, or do they complicate the situation? But I don't have time for you to respond, so, but I just want to extend my thanks to you, because it's time out. That's it for this edition of 411 Teen. Thanks to our Gen Z Lynn student producers and panelists. Today we explored the deaths of Alex Preddy and Renee Good. Today's conversation illustrates the insight of youth in making sense of complex and challenging world. To my listening audience, much appreciation for the privilege of your time and ear. This is Dr. Liz Hollyville inviting you to tune in next week, same time, same place, to get the 411 on 411 Teen. 411 Teen was produced by Dr. Liz Hollyville. Technical assistance provided by Taylor Cox. If you would like to participate in the 411 Teen or have suggestions for discussion topics, call 850-645-7200. You can listen to previous episodes of 411 Teen at wfsu.org.